Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Overtime, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy, bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
D-Mace, Vingen and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, Connor Newt here with you. We are live at Hermitage Golf Course for the fifth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament. And let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in one of our own, the very own Joe Rexroad of Robbie and Rexroad Mornings from 6 to 9, as well as The Athletic. Joe, I do have to say one thing to you before we begin. I know that you're not at SEC spring meetings this year. I'm very disappointed we did not get our romantic powwow between you and Paul Feinbaum on the Paul Feinbaum show with the beach and the waves crashing in the background.
Yeah, I mean, that was very lovely a year ago. Of course, I was writing a story about him. I don't know if people want to read a long story about Feinbaum every year. I mean, I would do it. Change a few sentences, you know?
I would read it if it meant that I got all expenses paid trip to Florida, but you are not there, but I know that you are paying attention to what's going on there. So let me ask you this. What is the most absurd thing you've heard someone say at SEC spring meeting so far?
Holy cow. Boy, is that ever a hell of a question, because there are so many amazing contenders. I mean, Mike, this is incredible. But I mean, to me, the easy answer is every single thing that, and a lot of people have said different things about this, that have to do with the SEC breaking away and, like, doing their own thing. It's like the stupidity level is so high. Like, I really have to question if they're being serious. Are they just trolling everyone? Or are they actually trying to threaten that they would go, you know, enforce their own rules and then just play? Yeah, let's play our own national championship. We'll just call it the national championship. I mean, I think everybody with half a brain in that league understands that that would be the end of both the SEC and really, like, college sports. And yet there's a lot of talk along those lines. I mean, true. Like, Scott Strickland from Florida actually said, like, the SEC geographic footprint is larger than England. So basically, like, why can't the SEC be like the Premier League? And just, like, yeah, totally, dude. Like, all around the world, people are going to start, like, cheering for Ole Miss basketball as if it's, like, you know, Arsenal. I mean, I don't even know what to do with these people.
Now, Rex, listen, we're here in a bubble in the South as far as SEC football, and everything around here, it doesn't matter who you're rooting for within the SEC. It's the SEC is the dominant conference no matter what. But how is it perceived outside of the SEC bubble? Because, again, the Big Ten has won three national championships in football. They just won a national championship in baseball. They've won a national championship in other sports. But how is it seen across just college football, college sports, period?
Well, I think people have hated the SEC outside the SEC bubble for a long time, but some of that had to do with jealousy because, you know, in football, I think they won, what, 16 out of 22? I think that's right. 13 out of 16, you know, whatever. They were, you know, the SEC was dominant for so long. So, you know, I mean, you know well, D-Mace, like Big Ten country, SEC country, people are always at each other's throats. To the point where, you know, during bowl season every year, people are keeping track, right, of who's winning the Outback Bowl and who's winning the Capital One Bowl and whatever else. But, I mean, look, I think that I think also right now people are fairly looking at the SEC and saying, wow, so the Big Ten's won three straight national titles in football and is 4-0 against the SEC in the playoff in those 3 years. So you're not as good, SEC. This, the era of being able to pay players and not have it all be under the table has not been good for the SEC. But, of course, speaking of dumb things said in Destin, Greg Sankey let us know that, you know, the metrics say that the SEC is the best by far. Oh, don't worry. We got better metrics than championships. It tells us we're the best by far. I mean, my goodness. It's like the delusion level is incredible.
They are trying to protect. They're trying to hold on to that perception of them being the best conference out there. And Sankey is just trying to do whatever he can right now to make sure that stays in place. There's been legislation brought to called the Protect the College Sports Act. They haven't presented it yet, but it outlines a few things. One, you know, you only get one transfer, and trying to set up some guidelines within NIL. How do you think all of this ultimately works itself out in college?
Yeah, Derek, I know that there are a lot of people, and frankly, a lot of people a lot smarter than me, who follow closely with all the attempted legislation, who have a little bit more optimism for this one. And certainly, like, it's an improvement on the SCORE Act. You know, the SCORE Act was very explicit in saying that athletes will not be employees. And, you know, to me, that was one of the things that doomed it. This bill, the SEC has already said they're not going to pool their media rights, and that's no surprise. But if you really want it, I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it'll happen. I don't think it'll go through. I think it'll get us the closest that they've been. Mm-hmm. Or if it does, something gets through, it will be stripped down tremendously from this. You know, they're not going to get this big antitrust protection that they hope. So, I mean, I still think that we are, and some people have recognized this for a while. I give Tennessee AD Danny White credit. I still think that ultimately, like, you're not going to be able to enforce some of these limits on compensation and on movement unless you have some kind of employment status / labor collective bargaining. And so I think that's where we're headed. I think it's inevitable, and it's just a matter of how long and how painful the ride's going to be.
And that was my next question to you, Joe. Do you think they will ever? Because, listen, Northwestern tried this long ago. I think it may have been 10 years ago, trying to put together a union, and everybody shot it down. And I'm thinking, like, eventually they're going to break through, just like everything else. You thought you weren't going to pay these kids money. Eventually it broke through, and now you got to pay them a lot of money, more than what you thought you were going to have to pay. But do you think they ever get to a point where everything is collective bargained and it's with a union?
Yeah, I do. It'll be, you know, there are a lot of things to figure out. And some people will point it out. You know, there are definitely college athletes right now saying, I'm good. Like, I'm getting as much as I want, and I go wherever I want year after year. So I don't, and that's the difference, right, is that back then when the NLRB thing failed at Northwestern, all the people in power in college athletics had no incentive. They're like, hell no. I mean, now they're – some of them, or more of them, are begging for it because they're like, how else are we going to limit this stuff? Like, we are going to, you know, we're going to bankrupt everything because we just have to pay more and more and more to get this player, that player, and we're asking our donors every year to give more and more and more, and we have to limit this. And they didn't have any issues like that back then. So I do think it'll happen. I'm going to raise my hand again, say I'm not smart enough to figure out how to, you know, when you have to pay someone well to be like the union chief, you know, you have to find someone who would hold that job for a long time because this is obviously a transient labor force. There's a lot of things to figure out, but ultimately, you know, I think athletes will get a bigger cut, and that will be their incentive to unionize, is that the lower levels of some of these guys will be rewarded more. But yeah, the top guys are going to be capped, and they're going to be their movement's going to be limited, so you got to make it worth their while.
Joe Rexroad is with us from The Athletic, and also, of course, Robbie and Rexroad, our morning show here on 102.5 The Game. Joe, I've seen some writers hit on a really good central question. Knowing the rebellious nature of the SEC, the renegade nature that goes back decades and generations of trying to get an edge and getting around the rules. But there's also this such a wild, wild west right now that I think even the most renegade kind of coaches are saying, boy, I wish we had some rules, right? So do you think they want order in the SEC? Do you think they want to be governed and have some guardrails?
Well, yeah, until it's them who can't get the deal through the CSC because it's not really an NIL deal, and they're going to lose the quarterback that their coach says is the key to everything, and then they don't want the rules to apply to them. I mean,
right?
You know, it's just the same old story. And you know, I mean, conferences were formed more than 100 years ago because, you know, basically because people were just like bringing in like 28-year-old ringers to play college football games. There were no rules at all. I mean, that's why they exist, and these rules have existed to be broken for as long as college athletics existed. So yeah, the SEC people are talking about it, and I find it just amazing to think of the SEC having its own rule book and then enforcing its own rules among its members and thinking that that's why everyone will comply now, because we're going to make it SEC only. I mean, it's just – so, yeah, I mean, do they want these guardrails? They do, but then they'll point to this person who, oh, they jumped the – you know, they overstepped, they tampered, whatever it is. And, I mean, when it comes down to it, you can bounce around – and just about everybody at some point doesn't want the rules to apply to them.
Right. So it's like, give me the rules so that I can get around the rules. That's how the SEC has always operated, I'm sure. So if you're Greg Sankey, Joe, one thing that has been pointed out, and it's a good point, is conference commissioners almost never penalize their own school. Like a good example. A couple years ago, the Big Ten could have come down on Jim Harbaugh, but they really didn't, right? They kind of said, well, they're in the Big Ten. They might win the national championship. So that might have been incentive to just sort of let it play out, let the NCAA deal with it, and the NCAA is too slow, toothless, whatnot. And that probably helped Michigan get to the finish line. But if you're Greg Sankey now in the leadership that he's in, He's gonna get hammered no matter what he does. But how would you approach it if you're him? How would you try to please as many people as you can at the same time try to, you know, satisfy your constituency, but at the same time try to look out for the game and for sports?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, and you know, I don't have a great answer for you. You know, it's interesting you bring up. I mean, you're right. The Big Ten could have done more. I mean, they did still suspend Harbaugh in the middle of the season. That kind of tells you like how serious, you know, like how legit that whole thing was in terms of, you know, the cheating being done and under conference standings. But you're right. I mean, it's of course you're looking out for your own, which is again why like the NCAA. Really, like in the 50s, was created because it's like we need to have a centralized thing. And so the NCAA kind of becomes the bad guy that can at least be detached to a point and try to enforce rules and try to investigate with no subpoena power. But, you know, that, I don't know. I don't know the answer to your question. I mean, I think everybody's on this wild ride. I mean, the CSC, this College Sports Commission that they created out of the House settlement to enforce the NIL rules, I mean, that Brian Seely, who's in charge of that, basically went to Destin this week, and it seemed to me like almost like a plea for help publicly.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know, a lot of these guys say they want rules, but they're not acting like they want rules, you know. And then, you know, you hear from ADs who are saying that these deals that have not been approved, so you might have hundreds of thousands of dollars that doesn't get into the hands of athletes that's been promised. So when does that lead to? I mean, are we going to be talking about like actual holdouts and stuff if that money doesn't actually materialize? So, you know, so the College Sports Commission is trying to enforce rules, but meanwhile, I think the number was 75% of the deals that right now are being held up are from the Big Ten and the SEC. You know, so those two big leagues are the most in terms of trying to push the envelope to get all this money into the athletes' hands. And, you know, if the CSC is doing what it was charged to do, then some of these are just not going to be approved. So then what about the schools that aren't even, like, complying at all and don't even care about the CSC? I mean, it's such a mess. So, like, if you're a conference commissioner, I mean, at some point, I do understand to a point why you're like, gosh, can we just focus on ourselves? Because when you really look around at the whole thing, there's just no controlling any of it.
Okay, from the player side, Joe, do you like the 5 years to play five period with, I guess, one transfer in there? What do you like that change, or so you think that's simple enough?
I do. I like it. I like the age limit thing too. So we can start to get rid of the 28-year-old European pro coming over
Thank you. Age limit to me has to be in there.
Yeah, and one transfer. I mean, certainly there are times when it's just like it's just not working here, and you can take that transfer. But if you have this rule, I think you'll have more multi-year deals, and I think you'll have more continuity. And I think a lot of things that have turned off some college sports fans will get better. Now, one thing to remember, Willie, is you know we always think about those like the players staying around as a player thing, right? Like they want to leave, they want to go. These coaches have not necessarily minded being able to purge their rosters more freely either, right, in this era. Yep. And so, I mean, you know, there are coaches who will tell you, well, I mean, I like the idea of 2 and 3 year deals, but with some of the guys who don't work or aren't as good as I thought they were, now I'm stuck with them. But you know what? Like, it's just never going to be perfect.
Rex Rhode, before we get you out of here, I do want to sneak in one college basketball question for you. Because I know Robbie doesn't like to talk to you about college basketball, and shame on him for that. The news last night that Tyler Tanner will be returning to Vanderbilt. Where would you put Vanderbilt in the pecking order? I know it's way, way, way too early. College basketball season is still several months away. But with Tyler Tanner back at Vanderbilt, where would you put the Commodores in the pecking order in the country?
I think they're a top 10 team. On paper, and honestly, I mean, I think in the SEC, you got to start with Florida. I think with the tremendous haul they're bringing back, but I think after Florida, I'm looking at Vanderbilt and I'm looking at Tennessee, and I think both of them on paper could be top 10 teams. I feel we talked about this a little bit today. Actually, Robbie did engage in college basketball talk.
Good, I'm glad.
Yeah, but and he asked me, like, so which of these would you feel better about, Vanderbilt or Tennessee? I said Vanderbilt just because Tyler Tanner is such a known commodity, and I just think that when you know what you have with him and what I think he'll be next year, that's just, you know, he's going to be one of the top 2 point guards in the country along with Jeremy Fears at Michigan State. But I also think Tennessee just has – I mean, it's a fascinating portal season for Rick Barnes. So I think both of them could be top 10, could be like fighting to be 2 seeds or 3 seeds, something like that. Should be a ton of fun. Football season, maybe a little strained with the young quarterbacks, but betting basketball season in the SEC in this state is going to be awesome.
Joe Rex Rhode has been our guest on D-Mace, Vin Gnadonic. Of course, you can hear him every morning on the station from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., as well as read his work at The Athletic. Joe, a pleasure. I hope nobody at the gym near you has any BO today.
Thank you. I want to bring my nose plugs. Thanks for a reminder.
Yes, lather up the deodorant, my friend. Thank you, Joe. 615-737-1025. By the way, since this happened as we were talking to Joe, but Amy Adams Strunk has announced that Dave McGinnis will be inducted into the franchise's Ring of Honor. The late Dave McGinnis will be inducted into the Tennessee Titans Ring of Honor this fall, as announced by owner Amy Adams Strunk. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, let's continue the SEC conversation Let's talk more about what Rex Rhodes said was the most absurd thing he heard at SEC spring meetings. It came from the lips of Kirby Smart, among others, but mostly Kirby Smart. 615-737-1025. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Taking my ball and throwing it off.
That was Georgia coach Kirby Smart hinting at SEC secession? Question mark? Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Joe Rexroth said that was the most absurd thing he heard at SEC spring meetings. Judging by the looks on y'all's faces, I would say you agree with Joe.
I have no idea.
If we all be drunk.
Oh,
okay.
Gosh.
If we had the money, if this and if
right.
that.
The ifs are, yeah. is he going to be the CFO? Is he going to be doing the balance in the books?
If
like,
I
oh, if we could pay for it, yeah. If I could pay for it, I'd have a private jet. I'd fly up to Ohio every weekend. I don't. He's not. There's no thought behind that by him. Come on, for a guy as successful as a coach as he is. What is he talking about?
But it seems like the SEC has been stepping in it, like across the board, whether it's coaches,
do you think the SEC is having its version of a midlife crisis?
Possibly.
Because the Big Ten has been winning all of the titles. Now, Greg Sankey will tell you, as Joe said, the metrics say we're the most competitive league in college football.
You know who the SEC is? It's just like that movie with a popular girl, and all of a sudden that other girl comes in, and everybody start liking her, and everybody start voting for her, and all of a sudden she gets vindictive and start, remember this, and I'm still this, and that's the SEC.
It's the meme with the guy looking back at the girl while he's walking next to his girlfriend. I'm sure you've seen this meme. That's the SEC is the girl in disgust because her boyfriend is looking back at the Big Ten girl walking the other way. But
yeah, the SEC, whether they say it publicly or not, they know they do not have a vice grip on sports anymore like they used to, where they could hoard players and keep them on because no one could transfer. And maybe they can give a little bit more on an table than some other teams. And you are recruiting in your backyard. Now, because of NIL, it's wide open. Guys are choosing to go where the money is. Girls are choosing to go a lot of times where the money is if they can get paid. And that has flipped everything on its head. And in SEC, not to say that they haven't adjusted to it. They just don't like it. They just don't like that they're not considered. If they still were considered the top dog but not winning, they would be fine with that. Because they can hide it in the background. But now, that's why I asked Joe that question. It's like now people don't recognize them as the top dog anymore, and they have a problem with that.
Dan Wolkin of Yahoo Sports wrote a column about this, and here is the meat and potatoes. Quote, if the primary issue is that schools won't follow the rules because all they care about is winning, the SEC's hands are stained by decades of dirt. The only thing that's changed is that in a world without rule, the Big Ten has ascended and the SEC has declined. Now, in response, the SEC thinks the answer might be to go do its own thing under the guise of creating a more level playing field, as if that's something it has ever cared about when it had the structural advantage of not having to pay its athletes. Sometimes you wonder if these members even hear themselves talk. But I'll make this very clear and simple. If the SEC breaks away from the NCAA, it will be the end of the SEC.
Why would you play as an athlete for a championship if it's not a national championship? Only one team's going to win the national championship, but to act like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to the SEC because if you win the SEC, that's better than a national championship. When you have the other two-thirds of the country or three-quarters of the country out there, and that's just not how it's always worked. That's just not the mindset. Let's have a national championship. Nobody wants them to break away. I don't think that is anybody when they wake up as an SEC fan says, I can't wait to the day the SEC breaks away from everybody else and has its own thing. That's what I want. Fans don't want that. Kirby Smart doesn't want that. And Dan makes a good point. It's in the SEC's DNA to cheat. and push the envelope. So now we're going to say, oh, now we can make the rules. And
coming
we're
from
make,
a proud SEC be, graduate.
Yeah, well, look. I know the history. I'm not stupid.
Hey, Willie got a scratch.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
And I don't condone it. I used to be the guy fighting it and saying they've got to reel it in. But Dan's point as well, and Pat Forty had a lot of the same theme in an article he wrote for SI. He said he had an SEC official quoted off the record, said, we're going to self-govern?
Oh, wow.
How is that going to work?
How laughable.
It's not going to work. They can't. They're always going to be infighting. That's one of the things that is compelling about the SEC is that they drive each other. Somebody's doing well and you're on a down cycle, we're going to figure out how to get there. And so if they were in their own league, who would want to be the commissioner of that league?
No,
it would
I
be
mean,
whereas make fun of Tony in the NCAA office who has no power. Who would be at the top of the SEC? Greg Sankey? You think he wants to police all those guys? No way.
It would be a huge headache. He I'm sure he's happy he can go to other athletic directors and you know, talk with them from other conferences. You know, the SEC can't sell itself anymore on, you know, whether on, hey, listen, you come here, what is your goal? To make it to the next level, look how many people we have that have went to that next level. No longer can they say that. They can say it, but then shortly after them saying it, the next question will be, well, how much money can you give me? How much money do y'all have in the budget for me to come there? I'm a five-star quarterback. Everybody else want me. How much? I know you've sent a lot of people to the NFL, but so did that school over there. And they're in the Big Ten or that school over there in the ACC. No longer can they just sit back on their laurels and say, hey, I have had over the last 10 years 20 first-round draft picks. Okay, and where the money at?
Yeah, and am I going to play?
Exactly. Am I going to play right away?
That I think is probably what gets to Kirby Smart as much as anything, is you can't set the numbers in your favor as easily as you used to. Because of the free transfers and the ability to get paid, and there's a downside to it that I talk about all the time. I like being able to stay at a school for 4 years, and you build that friend group that's there. There's benefits well beyond what happens in the 4 years that you play. But I also get it. If you're a quarterback and you're a high recruit, you go to Georgia, and the coach tells you, well, we got this really good quarterback who's going to be here for 2 more years. Or we just brought in a guy he's 22 and he's played 50 college games. And so, Derek, you freshman, you know, just sit back and watch for a couple years and develop. It is not unusual for that freshman to say, well, that's nice and everything, but I'm out of here. I'm going to where I can play. Right? Why do you think Jared Curtis is at Vanderbilt and not Georgia?
Gunner on our text line says, how many schools would leave the SEC if that were to happen? Why would Kentucky, Vandy, et cetera, want to just stay if they could relocate and possibly be in a better situation?
Well, it's not going to happen. I don't know why we're even talking about this.
It's not going to happen. I mean, yeah, ultimately, teams came to the SEC or the Big Ten because for them financially it was better. So, you know, the same amount of – I'm not sure. And listen – say if they do break off, and it's not going to happen, but hypothetically, say if they do break off, yeah, they will get television deals, but you don't think that those other conferences are not going to get those deals either, and they may end up getting more?
I also think that they would never want to admit it.
And you got to take all your teams out, not just your football team, all of them.
And the bloated number of teams in these conferences because of the TV money and our footprint. Now we got our footprint. It's bigger. It screws up college football more than any other sport. But it also has a domino effect on the other sports too. Is when you have a 16 or an 18 team league, that's a bad number. You can't really have a conference where everybody plays everybody. It was so much better when you had 8 to 10 max 12 teams in the league, because then you can determine a league champion. You have geographic advantages. It works for all the sports. That has gone completely out the window, and that's creating a lot of these problems.
It does. And I think a prime example is this. Not that it creates a problem, and it may not even be comparing apples to apples, maybe a California apple to a, I don't know, a Virginia apple, I don't know. But take, for instance, Notre Dame. Notre Dame's able to live without a conference in football because they got a huge deal. But their other sports are in conferences.
Yeah.
So they're able to sort of navigate or survive by themselves without being in a conference. Why? Because they have their brand is big, but they have a huge TV deal for one particular team. Now, if you're talking about taking that money and they got to spread it across every sport on campus, I'm not sure if they would be able to do that. But because it's a single sport and all the rest of their sports are in a conference, they're able to do it.
All right, Adam, do you think this sends us one step closer, though, to the top 40 or 50 breaking away from the next 100 or whatever? And then we have a new division, the revenue people and then the next tier.
I hope not.
Because that's what a lot of people are wanting.
I hope not.
But aren't they trying to stop that through legislation?
I hope so. I mean, I want to try to work with the model as best we can and preserve it as best we can. But I also probably want to go backwards more than a lot of people. There's a lot of things I would do that aren't for money, that it would just be for the best competition. And knowing that people are going to cheat and push the envelope, still keep rules and regulations to some degree to where everybody feels like at the end of it, things are being policed, and that when you crown a champion, it's legit.
You can do that.
Sean,
collective bargain it.
Sean,
that's probably the answer.
On our text line says, someone should show Kirby Smart the live tour and how that's working out.
Yeah.
Gino,
eventually, you're crash.
Gino says, D-Maze is right. The Big Ten just took off the glasses and let the hair down. Straight out of a 90s teen rom-com. 615-737-1025. Kirby Smart hinting at SEC secession. We know that it's not going to happen, but they're still putting it out in the universe. It's absurd, just as Rex Rhodes said. But we'll take your thoughts on it. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction and we'll continue the conversation. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet NHL insider extraordinaire, will join us at the top of the hour. We'll get into the latest in the Predators GM search. A lot of rumors out there about Avalanche GM Chris McFarland possibly joining the Predators front office. We'll hear what Elliot is hearing at the top of the hour. But in this segment, I'm gonna throw it to Willie. I'm gonna give Willie the choice of what we discuss here. We can either talk about your boy, Hunter Yurecek, or your other boy, Bryce Wasserman. You choose.
You got two boys, man.
You got your boys.
Yeah.
Well,
as a reminder,
which one is more?
As
your
a reminder,
boys?
Here is why.
Why don't we go with the local story?
Okay.
I would say.
By the way,
Hunter Yurecek was at Vanderbilt for a time, which is part of the what's stuck in my craw about him.
By the way, if you're wondering why Willie dislikes Hunter Yurecek, who is the Arkansas athletic director, it's because Hunter Yurecek said near the end of the college football season, quote,
well, he's on the committee. To select the college football playoff.
Quote, now that Tennessee is no longer ranked, they just don't have a signature win, meaning Vanderbilt. That's after Vanderbilt crushed Tennessee in Knoxville at the end of the season.
A guy that's an athletic director in the SEC who knows how hard it is to win at Tennessee. And Tennessee had only lost to other playoff contenders in the season. They were in the top 25. Conveniently moved out of the top 25. And then he thinks that's going to fly. That he says, well, now that Tennessee's out of the top 25, after Vanderbilt beat them, Vanderbilt doesn't have a signature win. That is the stupidest thing I have ever heard by any committee chair. That is the dumbest.
Were they not?
I wanted to bring
25?
That up just to hear Willie react.
Because
to
he's complaining about something else, right?
Yeah.
Hunter Yurecek, about their start times.
He's complaining about Arkansas's
get the violins
start times
out
to start the season in, I think, weeks 2 and 3. because Arkansas goes to Utah and then plays Georgia the following Saturday, and the times mean that Arkansas is going to lose a day of rest and recovery. I don't know. It's a whole thing.
Come on, man.
But I just wanted to bring it up so that Willie could yell
about Juracek.
He likes
the check for the TV stations, I'm sure.
Yes. So here's Willie's other boy, Bryce Wasserman, son-in-law of Amy Adams Strunk. And he was recently promoted to football council / head of research. And Paul Kaharsky of PaulKaharsky.com reported yesterday, Bryce Wasserman's Titans role comes into focus. So although Wasserman is football council head of research, it will not leave him in charge of the research and development department. In fact, Kaharsky writes, the Titans have differentiated Wasserman's research role from the research and development department, which has been renamed strategy and analytics. See if you can keep up with me here.
So far, this is what I got. He's in charge of the research department, but not in charge of research.
In the readjusted structure, no one reports to Wasserman. Strategy and analytics reports to new executive vice president of the football operations, Dave Gardy. Wasserman's research is specific to Mike Borgon.
It's right out of Office Space, is it not?
what do you do here?
What is it? Would you say that you do here?
What would you say you do here?
He's in charge of research, but nobody comes over to research.
Nobody reports to him.
Exactly.
They report to the other guy.
The
guy that replaced Brinker.
So, did you get all that?
Oh, good.
The word that comes to mind is nebulous.
Yes,
it's
ding.
Nebulous.
Yes. Ding.
Oh, man.
I don't have a bell with me, but I'll ding it here. Ding.
Well, whatever he does, it's deemed important for the organization. I mean, he reports, he gets it, but doesn't report it, or no one reports to him. But does he report to Borgonzi?
It says in Kaharsky's
everybody
article.
Everybody reports to Borgonzi.
Yeah, yes. Everybody.
Wasserman's research is specific to Mike Borgonzi.
Uh-huh.
It crosses into multiple departments, including salary cap, scouting, and analytics, and includes studying trends and markets for trades, contract extensions, and free agents.
I'm not going to tell you what it sounds like because I don't know exactly. Because his job may be important, and I'm sure it is. Again, they hired him to do some specific things that they deem important. But ultimately, he's Borgonzi's guy. Go get what I need. Do the research. Go get what I need and bring it back to me. But no one reports their information to you. That's what it seems like.
I just continue to ask the question that, I mean, it's pretty obvious that he would not have this title were he not the son-in-law. So the question is, when they have meetings and they're sitting around the table and they're going through the agenda, the big things, whether it's research, analytics, scouting, salary cap, contracts, when he is asked to give input, does he have input? He might.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not. Maybe he is a valued guy, but I'm curious about that because if he sticks out like a sore thumb of somebody who really hasn't been in football and really doesn't offer much, I wonder how that's going to play itself out, especially with his unique position with the owner. What's said in the room? What gets back to the owner? What if there's bad blood? What if there's mistrust? I mean, there's a lot of things that could go wrong. I'm not saying it will. Maybe it's one big happy family, but that is a really interesting description by Paul
wow.
of what it is the job supposedly is going to entail. Now, they haven't started yet. It might evolve as they move forward here. And like we've said all the time, you can give yourself whatever title that you want. But when you come in every day, are you working together and are you bringing something to the table?
The head of research does not leave him in charge of the research and development department.
Yes.
Read it one more time. Okay. Head of research.
Yes. The head of research, role doesn't leave him in charge of the research and development department. In fact, the Titans have differentiated Wasserman's research role from the research and development department, which has now been renamed strategy and analytics.
So there's two research departments.
I'm having a hard time following this. Not that Paul's not that Paul's doing a bad job explaining
exactly.
it. It's just very convoluted.
Yes, man. To say the least.
And as I've said, I think Bryce Wasserman replaces Chad Brinker as the new boogeyman among Titans fans when things go awry for the team. Before it was Chad Brinker. What's he doing behind the scenes? What strings is he pulling? No?
I don't even think it's that. I don't think he's – I don't think they want him to be – sort of the boogeyman or the bad guy or, oh, he's the guy that's
pulling the strings. Well, he's not trying to, but fans look for that, right? Who can we blame?
Yeah, but I'm not sure because they're telling you he has a job, but he doesn't really.
Right. But, okay.
So you can't blame him if something goes wrong.
Here's another thing that I think is potentially in play. Mm-hmm. When you're, what is he, 30 years old, I think? 30 years old and not a guy that has been in the game for a long time. But he's got some sort of say. He's got a title. We know that. It's nebulous and
no
all
bio,
that.
Though. Mm-hmm. No bio.
No bio. No bio.
No bio.
Because that would have them listing what he's done to
They're
gonna
have
be
a
qualified
bio
for the
pretty
job.
Soon here.
We'll see.
They don't have one.
We'll see. But John Chyka, the general manager for the Maple Leafs.
Yes.
Why was that really nasty question asked? Because John Chyka, in his last go-round as a general manager, was hired at 26, I think.
He was, I think at the time, the youngest GM in major professional sports.
Yeah. Now, Theo Epstein for the Red Sox got hired at 29, and people were really wondering how that was going to go, and it worked out well. Theo Epstein was able to make it work. He had good people around him, and he was able to keep the respect, and they obviously won a lot, so he's a hero. Then he went to the Cubs and did the same thing, so he
knows what he's
doing. But Chyka was derided because he acted like he had all the answers and knew everything. He mistreated a lot of people, but at 26, can you really have the wisdom to manage people? It's not easy. Maybe it can be done, but that cannot be easy if you're surrounded by people who've been in the game a lot longer, that have a lot to offer, and you're saying, no, I don't want to hear what you have to say because I'm 26 and I know how this works. So I don't know what – so I just asked the question, when Wasserman's in on these meetings and you're around Reggie McKenzie and Mike Borg, guys who are older and their life has been football, can you be a valuable person in those discussions? Hopefully, yes. But I wonder.
It's a good question, but I'm hoping we'll learn more about this guy as time goes on. But again, the fact that he is Amy Adams Strunk's son-in-law does
you got to strike again. You got to strike against you going in. You can't help it, right?
But I think
so. If he's smart, he'll go in saying, "Look, I don't know everything. I'm just here. I want to be help. You guys run it. You know, tread lightly."
But they're putting him. He's sort of in this position where he's going to get lost in what's going on once you get into the season, because it's not like the information that the research that he's doing, he's giving it to everybody. Like, he's head of everybody, and he's getting it, and then he's giving it all to Borgonzi. It's almost like the research you do is maybe the research Borgonzi wants you to do. You go do it and you report back to him. But everybody else is doing the other stuff. So the only way you will know about Wasserman, so to speak, is if everything's going wrong. And like you said, and I'm kind of going back on what I said, but like you said, it's like he could end up being sort of the bad guy alongside Borgonzi. But he won't turn out to be like, just solely we're going to blame it on Wasserman.
Right.
He would be tied to Borgonzi somehow.
Well, let's take it beyond the how is it perceived from where we sit, the media and the fans. But don't you think it's human nature, right? If things aren't going well, and Mike Borgonzi, maybe they're feeling a little pressure, it's not going well, wouldn't there be a natural, like, what's Bryce going back to Amy with? How is he perceiving what we're doing here? We thought we had this, and we all agreed that this was the way to go with this contract or this trade or this decision. It hasn't worked, but what's Bryce saying? What's his perception, right? Is there a trust there that he's not taking a look? Amy, let me tell you, those guys in that room that you hired, holy cow. Let me just tell you what that said in that meeting. You know, that's – it happens in the world, right? Mm-hmm. I hope it doesn't happen here. This is me not, I'm not trying to project that this is going to happen. I'm just, when
is
you hire, when
meetings?
You make a hire here like this, then this is what you have to prove people wrong.
But do you believe he's in those meetings? Because he reports to
I
no
don't
one
know.
But
well,
Benghazi.
Remember the scene that Nick Suss of the Tennessean painted for us a few weeks
ago.
Yes,
he did. That really got me going on this.
At the combine, right?
Uh-huh.
With Borgonzi and Ziegler and McKenzie and I would assume Chad Brinker at the time. And there's Bryce Wasserman in this huddle. So it does appear that Wasserman is, if he's not in the inner circle, he's just outside the inner circle trying to break
he's
into.
He's walking with the people in the inner circle.
He's walking with the people in the inner circle. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, will join us. We'll get into the Predators GM search and the Stanley Cup playoffs with our friend Elliot coming up next. 615-737-1025. Speaking of the local professional football team, Tennessee Brew Works is the official craft beer of football offseason coverage here on 102.5 The Game. Raise a glass with Tennessee Brew Works, proud partner, official craft beer of the football offseason coverage here on 102.5 The Game.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles, gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2x the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.